Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. It's easy to get caught up in the details of your life and forget that we're a part of the bigger story, that God has a plan for your life. We get wrapped up in these smaller stories, and that leaves us anxious, depressed, just maybe simply stressed and overwhelmed. However, God has given us a great place to find peace and to find hope and to find guidance. The Bible. It's a great book. I know that it might have been difficult the past several weeks or even the last couple months to understand that we are still going through the Bible in a year. It's difficult because once we left the Old Testament, there's not a clear, easy storyline that the New Testament gives us. I mean, we went through the Gospels, but when I was going through Genesis and Exodus, even Judges, the storyline, it kind of makes sense. It's just one next. It's chronological. But more recently, going forward, I kind of have to focus on topics so that we cover all the different books of the Bible. It's last week and this week, I wanted to focus on a couple specific topics and cover a few books that I had to skip over. So last week, I went over Lamentations and some of the books of Psalms, some of the Psalms, as I was talking about mental health, anxiety, and depression last week. And this week, I'm going to be covering a couple other Bible passages from Jeremiah and then 1 Thessalonians that we won't hit in a different week. It's talking specifically about grieving and loss. I know when I was planning this, I'm like, look, we're going to talk about mental health on Mother's Day and grieving and loss on graduation. Doesn't that make sense? I got to remember that those things aren't like church holidays. They're just things that are going on. And I think that these are topics that we all need to deal with no matter what the day is that we're coming to church. So last week I talked about mental health, anxiety, depression. This week I'm using a couple books of the Bible to discuss how we deal with feelings of loss and grief. In addition, because it goes so nicely with this topic, I wanted to show you how Jesus dealt with loss in his own life, which is why we had that really, really long gospel reading from the Gospel of John. It only shows up in the Gospel of John about Jesus' friend who died and how he dealt with that. So while this week's topic isn't on a linear journey through the Bible, we are hitting some important books and that we would have had to skip our way going through the overall bigger story. There's a famous quote. I knew this quote, but I didn't know who read it, and I didn't know the fuller context. But it was given by Benjamin Franklin, and you're all going to have recognized this. It says this: our new constitution is now established. Everything seems to promise it will be durable. But in this world, nothing is certain except for death and taxes. That's the fuller context of that quote, in case you didn't know. Not everyone, though, experiences the joy of paying taxes. I know that when I was working and didn't make a lot of money, I didn't have to pay any taxes at all. But all of us are going to know what it feels like to experience death or loss in our lives, or at least the consequences of those things. We walk through the shadow of death when we lose people that we love, when they die. We experience the suffering of death in this world around us as we watch things fall apart and decay. We know what it is to face death personally in the loss of our dreams, when our plans are forced to change, even when we face the upcoming end of our life. Ernst Becker wrote a book in 1973. It's called The Denial of Death. And it explained that a lot of what we do every day of our lives in our culture is kind of like a coping mechanism that we use to deal with the reality of death in our lives. People aren't running marathons because they think it's fun. They're trying to keep themselves in shape because they know that if they keep their heart healthy, that they have a better chance of living longer. Why do some women wear makeup? Well, because they're covering up those wrinkles that make it look like they're getting older, which they are, but they don't want to. I know I've heard someone say, stop using that wrinkle cream. They just keep, it seems to be making more, right? But this is what happens. So much of what we learn about or what we do in our society is just ways to sort of cover up what we know is happening to us, that we're dying, that we're slowly getting older and older and older. How do you deal with death and loss in your life? Many of us say and even believe some of the common platitudes about death in our society. So when someone dies, we say things like, he's in a better place, or God will never give you more than you can handle. But consider how these common phrases that we've probably all heard and might have even said, how would that be heard by the person that's just lost somebody? I mean, if you say that somebody is better in a better place, it might be construed that you're saying that they're better off dead. I mean, that's not what you meant. That kind of might sound like what it's heard like. But that's not, is that truly what you believe? And is that truly up to us to decide whether they're in a better place or not? And the Bible never says that God won't give you more than you can handle. Are we supposed to strive to be a sniveling weakling so that we can't handle much, so we're not going to be given much to handle, so our life becomes easier? Would it even work that way? I don't think so. But today I hope to give you a biblical understanding of how to deal with loss and grief that speaks the truth rather than these empty phrases that tend to just make the person saying them feel better, but still leaves the grieving hurt and maybe even mad. In the book of Jeremiah, it says something that we all feel when bad things happen, especially when bad things happen to the people in our life. It reads, "You are always righteous, Lord, yet I would speak to you about your justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the faithless live at ease?" See, I don't think most of us would care that much about evil people doing great if it didn't seem like at the same time, people who seem so nice and good have so many truly awful things happening to them. It doesn't seem fair. It would be easier to accept loss and death in our lives if it seemed like it worked both ways, you know? If it seemed fair. But so often it doesn't. In the book of Job, Job complains that he's done nothing wrong to deserve all the bad things that's happening to him. But in both of these passages, in Jeremiah and in Job, in both of these books, the common question that we all ask sometimes is, why, God? Why is this happening? Why is this happening to this person, or why is it happening to me? But the same answer is given in both of the books. It's an answer that I think is very true, but isn't my favorite answer. The answer is simply, we don't know. We don't know. It may not be the answer you want to hear, but it's still the truth. Why do bad things happen to good people? We don't know. We don't know why it happens, or why it happens when it happens, or why it happens to who it happens to. We trust that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. And we believe that he has a plan and a purpose for this world. But rather seeking to defend his decisions with our platitudes, we need to accept that our understanding is always going to be limited as human beings. We're not always going to know why. As long as sin is in this world, the world is going to experience death and decay. But why it happens, when it happens, to whom it happens, we cannot fathom that. Only God knows. Earlier this year, I read a devotional, and I came across this passage that really, it just stuck with me ever since. It was so meaningful to me. I don't know if it will be to you, but I thought it was inspiring to me, to be honest. It said this, "Understanding will not give you peace." I let that sink in. Understanding will not give you peace. See, so often when something difficult happens in my life, when a dream is destroyed or a death of some type is experienced. I want to figure out not only why, but I understand what the purpose is, you know, what the meaning is behind this. But honestly, from my experience, seeking that understanding is just, it's kind of a dead end. And it causes me all kind of stress and sadness because I can never get an acceptable answer. Understanding will not give you peace. Because really, we only find peace through faith and trust that God understands things we will maybe never understand. Yesterday, I came across a concept about faith that I thought I would share with you. Why does a little child squeal with delight when you throw them up in the air? Why do they do that? Is it because they understand gravity and they know that they'll be coming back down and not just float off into space? Well, they don't understand that. Well, why do they squeal with delight? Is it because they know you're strong enough to catch them? Well, I don't think it's because of that either. It's because they're happy because they trust. They just trust that their parent's going to catch them. They trust that. They don't know why. They don't. They just have a childlike faith. God asks the same of us. When you are faced with loss in your life, he asks you to trust him. Not necessarily to understand, but to trust, to love him even as you struggle with the consequences of death here on earth. So then, is it okay to feel sad when someone dies? Or even, is it Christian to grieve at the loss of a job, or at the loss of a dream, or at the end of a relationship? Because shouldn't we know that God's with us? Shouldn't we know that God loves us? Shouldn't we know that there's a future hope? Is it okay to feel sad? Well, I was told a story of a young Christian couple who lost their baby in the NICU up in Minnesota, and the chaplain telling me the story was in the room with them. And their youth pastor came in the doors, and the first thing he said was, "Praise the Lord, your baby's with Jesus." Now, we might not even disagree with what he says, but we kind of get the feeling like that's not right. That something about that interaction wasn't right. What is it? It's hard to argue with his statement, but it should be okay to be sad when somebody dies, when somebody that we love dies, when a dream is lost, like a child. And I would argue it's not only okay to be sad, but it's necessary and important to be sad. After all, Jesus grieved at the death of his own friend, Lazarus. When Jesus saw all those around him weeping, he was deeply moved, he was troubled, and finally it says Jesus wept, he cried. But why? Why did Jesus weep? Because didn't he know that just in a few moments he was going to actually call out to Lazarus and raise him from the dead? Why is he crying? Because Jesus was human. That's why he cried. He was just like us. He's human. This was his friend who had died. Even when we know that death is not the final answer, we can still be sad to see it happening. And we can be sad that somebody had to go through suffering. When I do a funeral for someone who I can be certain that they had a faith in Jesus Christ, and when I know for sure that they've received the promise of baptism, that I can be assured that they're going to a heavenly home, I'm still sad that I'm not going to see them. I'm sad. I'm sorry that they had to suffer. I'm sorry that it's going to be a while till I get to see them again, but I'm going to miss them. In fact, if you don't grieve in the face of death, if you don't grieve your losses and take them head on, those feelings can sometimes come out sideways in ways that you don't expect and maybe you didn't want. And that can become a problem both for you and for the people around you that have to experience your anger, your frustration, or the depression that comes out because you just didn't deal with those feelings when you had the chance. But as we are grieving, we can do more than just trust in God. We can hope. We can hope in God's power to redeem us and to reconcile the world to himself. St. Paul makes this argument in 1 Thessalonians, that when someone dies, we aren't to grieve like others do. We're still supposed to grieve, but we're not supposed to grieve like the rest of mankind who has no hope, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus all those who have fallen asleep in him. So we're sad, but we recognize that the sadness is temporary. On one day, our joy is going to be eternal. Why? Well, because sin, death, and the devil have been defeated by Jesus Christ on the cross. So we're going to experience loss and suffering here on earth. But that's as far as it goes. It doesn't last forever. One day, God will wipe every tear from your eye, and there will be no more death or mourning or pain, because the old order of things, the things of this earth, are going to pass away. The book of Revelation, all those words come from the book of Revelation. So we grieve the loss that we're experiencing, but we recognize that Jesus has bigger plans for us than sadness. So there are all going to be all kinds of losses in your life, okay? I'm sure that even the high school seniors today and their parents celebrating are excited, yet they feel sadness from the end of childhood, the uncertain future ahead of them. When a relationship ends, even if you wanted it to end because maybe it was unhealthy or something, we should still expect to grieve that loss, the loss of those dreams and the plans that you had. When we experience the shock of a negative health diagnosis, for instance, we grieve the loss of that part of our future, or the fact that we're going to have to go and deal with it, that we're going to have to lose our freedom by going and doing treatments or this kind of stuff. When someone dies, we weep to know that we have to say goodbye. However, hope means that we're looking forward to a place where death no longer reigns, that instead God is reigning over his heavenly kingdom. So in the face of death and in the face of loss, when you face this sadness, even in the midst of your tears and in the midst of your frustration, don't grieve as other people do, because not everybody has the hope that you have in Jesus. You've got Jesus with you. You may not understand why or how God is working in your life, but please know this, he is working in your life. He is at work even right now in the most difficult circumstances. Understanding isn't going to give you peace, but Jesus can give you peace and hope as you trust in him. And then there's this amazing scripture passage from Romans chapter 8 that I think covers it all. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, neither height nor any powers, nor height or depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We walk forward with that hope, trusting that even in the saddest times, that Jesus walks by our side and will bring us to a new life and eventually to an eternal life in heaven with him. Amen.